Does do all the fucking work.
It can be done for minerals, too, Levinson said in an offhand manner. Easier, in fact. The nanos work at the molecular level there, rather than atomic.
Pancho looked at each of them in turn. She stood up and planted her hands on her hips. Fine work, she said. Only one problem I can see.
What's that?
This'll knock the price of metals and minerals down pretty close to zero.
Huh? George grunted.
You're going to make it so easy to mine the asteroids that we'll get a glut on the market, Pancho said, and most of the miners will be thrown out of work to boot.
George frowned.
I didn't think of that. I was just trying to make their work easier.
Too easy, said Pancho.
Levinson looked completely unconcerned.
New technology always brings some economic dislocations, but think of the benefits of cheaper raw materials.
Yeah, sure, said Pancho.
Then it hit her with the force of a body blow.
Holy craps! Once Humphreys finds out about this, there's going to be hell to pay.
What do you mean? George asked.
Once this nanotechnology starts being used, there won't be room for two competing companies in the belt. The only way to make economic sense out of this is for one company to run the whole damn belt, keep production of raw materials under control, set prices for the buyers. That's what he's after.
But Humphreys doesn't know anything about this, George said.
Wanna bet? Pancho snapped.
Humphreys' mansion. It really works? Humphreys asked. They've done it? It really works, said Victoria Farrar, his latest administrative assistant. Their top nanotech expert, this man Levinson, demonstrated it to Ms. Lane 2 days ago. She's on her way back here with him now. Farrar was a small, light-boned young woman with large, limpid eyes, full sensuous lips, and lovely, large breasts. When he had first interviewed her for the job, Humphreys had wondered if her breasts were siliconed. They seemed oversized for the rest of her. Soon enough, he found that they were natural, although enhanced by a genetic modification that Victoria's stage-struck mother had insisted upon when she was pushing her teenage daughter into a career in show business. Young Vicky went to university instead and earned honors in economics and finance. Eventually, Humphreys learned that as good as Victoria was in bed, she was even better in the office. Farrar's best asset, he eventually realized, was her brain. But that didn't prevent Humphreys from betting her now and then. At the moment, though, she was bringing him disturbing news about the nanotechnology work going on at the rock rat's habitat in the belt. That tears it, he said thoughtfully, leaning back in his self-adjusting desk chair. I should have seen it coming. It's going to knock the bottom out of the market for asteroidal commodities. Not necessarily, said Farrar. She was seated in the plush chair in front of his desk, looking very trim and businesslike in a tailored off-white blouse and charcoal gray slacks. His brows knitting, Humphrey said, Don't you see? Once they start using nanomachines to get pure metals out of the asteroids, the price for those metals will sink out of sight. Minerals, too. Same thing. The major price factor will be the cost of transportation. Only if the rock rats actually use nanos, Farrar countered. Humphreys sat up a little straighter. You think they won't? With a slight smile, she replied, I think Ambrose is smart enough to realize that nanomachines could throw most of the miners out of work. I think he'll suppress the idea. Buy off the scientist? What's his name, this kid from MIT? Levinson, said Farrar. I doubt that he can be bought off. He's the kind who'll want the whole world to know how brilliant he is. But Ambrose and the rest of the governing council at Ceres could easily claim that nanomachines are too dangerous to use on the asteroids. That sounds far-fetched. She shook her head. Just slightly, but enough to let Humphrey see that she thought he was wrong. To operate on the asteroids, the nanos would have to be hardened against ultraviolet light. That means the main safety feature that Cardanus built into the nanos years ago would be disabled. Ambrose could argue that the nanos are too dangerous to use, and let the rock rats keep on operating the way that they have been since the beginning. Exactly. Humphreys drummed his fingers on the desktop. That would avoid a collapse at the market, which is to the rock rats' best interests. Sort of like the Luddites smashing the steam-powered looms back at the beginning of the First Industrial Revolution. Ferrar looked puzzled for a moment, and Humphreys smiled inwardly. Score one for the boss, he said to himself. I know more than you do. Aloud, he asked, you really think Ambrose and the others will suppress this? My information is that he and Ms. Lane have already discussed it. I'm sure he will. And use safety precautions as the excuse. It's a very good excuse. Humphreys glanced up at the ceiling's smooth cream-colored expanse, then at the hollow window at the far wall that displayed a view of Mount Kilimanjaro when it still had snow on its summit. Doesn't matter, he said at last. In the long run, this development of nanotech mining will be the last straw. I've got to get control of Astro now, before that grease monkey Pancho realizes she can use the nanomachines to undercut my prices. But if Astro starts using nanomachines for mining the asteroids, Ferrar interrupted, we could do the same. Yeah, and drive the price for asteroidal commodities down to nothing, or close to it, Humphreys snapped. No, I've got to get Astro into my hands now. No more delays or hesitations. Once I've got Astro, we can use nanomachines to drive down the cost of mining, but we'll have a monopoly in the damned belt so we can fix the selling prices. Ferrar started to nod, then thought better of it. What about this new company, Nairobi Industries? They don't have anything going in the belt. They might move that way eventually. Humphreys made a snorting, dismissive laugh. By the time they get their base built here on the moon and start thinking about expanding to the belt, I'll have the whole thing in my hands. They'll be shut out before they even start. She looked dubious but said nothing. Humphreys smacked his hands together. Okay, the gloves come off. All the preparations are in place. We knock Astro out of the belt once and for all. Ferrar still looked less than enthusiastic. She rose from her chair and started for the door. Before she got halfway across the office, though, Humphreys said, tell Grigor I want to see him in half an hour. No, make it a full hour. And he crooked his finger at her. Dutifully, she turned around and headed back to him.
Torch ship, Star Power 3. Like most torch ships, Star Power 3 was built like a dumbbell. Bulbous propellant tanks on one end of a kilometer-long buckyball tether, habitation module on the other, with the fusion rocket engine in the center. The ship spun lazily on the ends of the long tether, producing a feeling of gravity for the crew and passengers. Pancho's quarters aboard her personal torch ship were comfortable, not sumptuous. The habitation module included the crew's quarters, the bridge, workspaces, and storage areas, as well as Pancho's private quarters, plus two more compartments for guests. Pancho was afraid that her lone guest on this trip from Ceres to Selene would become obstreperous. Levi Levinson was flattered almost out of his mind when Pancho told him she wanted to bring him to Selene to meet the top scientists there. Two of them are on the Nobel Committee, Pancho had said with complete truthfulness and a good deal of artful suggestion. Levinson had immediately packed a travel bag and accompanied her to the torch ship. Now, though, as they approached Selene, Pancho broke the unpleasant news to him. She invited him to dinner in her private quarters and watched with secret amusement as he goggled at the array of food spread on the table between them by the ship's two galley servers. You've made a terrific scientific breakthrough, she told Levinson once the servers had left, but I'm not sure the rock rats are going to take advantage of it. Levinson's normal expression reminded Pancho of a deer caught in an automobile's headlights. Now his brows shot even higher than usual. Not take advantage of it? He asked,
a spoonful of soup trembling halfway between the bowl and his mouth. "What do you mean?"